Good morning. What a week. I think some pastors were probably changing their sermons today to specifically address the events of this past week, from the Charlie Kirk killing to the school shooting that happened this past week to the Ukrainian woman being murdered in Charlotte to even here in Randolph County, a little boy losing his life earlier in the week. Something I've noticed that anytime there is a big national thing like this, normally I don't change the sermon because I think that God can use whatever to apply to whatever situation. And oftentimes when something really bad like this has happened, my sermon kind of went along with it. And this week's no different. I was already planning the sermon out on Monday, kind of had got my direction that I was going in, and it's going to be very applicable today. Maybe not addressing the concerns that we have, but what it's going to address today is how we should act from here on out, and how we need to be careful specifically with our words. If there's ever a time that God's people need to act wisely, it is when the emotional tensions of those around us, society around us, is high. And right now, the emotional tensions are very high. And so we need to be very wise in what we do, and then what we're going to talk about specifically today, so we need to be very wise in what we say. So we're going to continue our series on wisdom as we're working through Proverbs. And we define wisdom as the ability to apply knowledge in an applicable and godly way. Last week, we kind of covered the hard topic from the get-go, talking about managing our wealth. Today, we're going to talk about the power of our words. They say, on average, we speak somewhere between 7,000 and 20,000 words per a day. Let's just take a poll, and this is a trick question for the men. How many people in the room think women speak more than men? Michael, you're going to get in trouble. Jeff, you're going to get in trouble. David, did you raise your hand? Oh, Angela's not in here, so it don't matter. Angela's in the nursery. Well, I'll call you out and say that you raised your hand anyway. Earlier studies claim women spoke approximately 20,000 words a day, and men spoke 7,000 words a day. And so when you ask a woman why that is, why do they talk so much more than men, they'll say it's because men don't listen the first time. As, look, wow. Another one, a husband was asked, do you resent that your wife talks more than you? He smiled and said, no, not at all. Somebody has to tell me what I'm thinking. Later research, though, showed that men and women both speak on average 16,000 words a day. I know in my household, my wife definitely speaks more than me. If we're driving down here to church, I'm hearing her talk about her day most of the time, and I'm over there just silently pretending to listen or trying to listen. I did look up which professions speak the most words. Any guesses? The number one profession that speaks the most words, we do have some of them in our congregation. Teachers, especially elementary school teachers. They say they speak somewhere between 40 and 50,000 words a day. That's a lot of words. Second was clergy and pastors. In fact, they say that in one sermon, and this would be a fascinating study to do of my sermons, in one sermon, I speak about a whole day's worth of words. So it'd be really interesting to see if I do speak somewhere around 16,000 words in one sermon. Healthcare workers, I know we have some of them in here. They came in at number 7. And then the other ones were like lawyers, radio broadcasters, stuff like that. But top two, teachers, especially elementary, and then clergy and pastors. Words are powerful. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Words have power. In fact, we've seen this past week how the words of some of people have gotten them in trouble and may have even caused them to lose their jobs. And we'll get to that probably later on as another example. Words matter to God, and therefore words should matter to you. In fact, Matthew 12, Jesus is teaching, and he's telling us that we're going to actually be judged on our words. He said, I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word that they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. So in other words, words matter. Words matter to God. Words should matter to you. Yet if there's one thing that we don't tend to keep control over, is our mouths. Or as James says, our tongues. Proverbs refer to as tongues as well. So there's a lot of teachings in Proverbs, and I'm going to bring in the New Testament and the rest of Scripture as well regarding our words and how we should use our words. There's no way I'm going to be able to cover it all. There's a ton of scriptures about how we use our words and how important it is. And so I'm just going to pull some of them out from Proverbs, and then for our application part, we're going to pull some out from the New Testament to talk about how we should be wise in the way we use our words. My first point for you is this: your words affect your life. Zach, I forgot to tell you that it needed to be affect, not effect. ChatGPT corrected me on that this morning. I always get those two confused. Words can protect you from harm or make things worse for you. And Proverbs 14:3 specifically says this: a fool's mouth lashes out with pride, but the lips of the wise protect them. Proverbs 21:23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps himself from calamity or from trouble. So words can protect you, and I can think of times in my life where I have intentionally said things just to protect me from possible punishment later on. The first example that came to my head was at Food Lion. If I knew that I had a cashier that was on my shift that was losing money, it consistently came up short, and the manager was on me to get them to make sure they're counting their money carefully, then I would protect myself by, at the beginning of the shift, telling them, take your time today, count your money slowly. Like, don't rush through it. So that if their till came up that short that night, the manager say, did you say something to them? I did. Therefore, it protects me, puts it on them. Or maybe I'm specifically very careful and try to use my words to protect me and others when I am talking to someone that disagrees with me. Especially in a time like this, where the temperature in our country is so high, and there's a lot of people who think differently than I do, then if I'm having a conversation with you, then I'm going to be very careful with my words to protect this from turning into something bigger. Often what I will say is that this is my opinion, and I will emphasize to them that it is my opinion, and my opinion can be wrong. And so I want to show some humility there to let them know, hey, I'm open to other views, but this is what I believe, and this is what I see. I especially do this when it's me and another Christian who disagrees on interpretation of Scripture. Like, we can look at the same Scripture and get two different conclusions from it. I'm going to choose to try to use my words to protect us from getting into a bigger conflict. But, you know, words can also make things worse for you. And I got more oh yes from that one, because some of us have experienced things getting worse in our life because of our words. Like if you say something the wrong way, or you say something at the wrong time, it can create drama, and that leads into the next one. Words can stir up drama in your life, or it can calm it down. Proverbs 15:1 tells us, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So if you want to make a situation more angry, then use a harsh word. But if you want to calm it down, then give a gentle answer in return to someone. Proverbs 16:28, a perverse person stirs up conflict. So that is someone who is just looking to create trouble. They're just looking to create some type of conflict. We call them today trolls. On social media, those are called trolls. They're just going to go on a post just to say something, just to try to get someone to say something ridiculous back to them. Proverbs 17:14, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, so drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. What a picture. A dam holds water back. So if you start a quarrel with your words that are not very gentle, then it's like the water is going to come rushing in. And so this is saying drop the matter. In other words, remember sometimes you don't need to say anything. Drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. Your words can create more drama in your life than you want, or it can calm drama down, so we got to be careful with it. The second way, though, that words have an effect is they have an effect on others. In fact, I put a huge effect on others. Scripture in Proverbs refers to some positive ways that our words can affect others, and I found the words that were used interesting. The first word is nourishing. Proverbs 10:20-21. The tongue of the righteous is a choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for a lack of sense. So the first part of that verse is saying, in verse 20, is saying that when a righteous person uses their tongue the right way, it's like choice silver. In other words, it is valuable. And then the verse 21 says, the lips of the righteous nourish many. So I thought about nourish, the word nourish. Nourish means you're getting the nutrients that you need in order to live life. And so if a righteous person uses their words in the right way, it's providing nourishment to those around them. In other words, it's providing them with what they need. I think, I'm going to say later, but I'll say it now too. I think the lips of the righteous help people maintain a better life here on earth. And there's some people that you can be around that because of the way they talk, because of the way they are, you know that it lifts your spirits. You know that it brings nourishment to you just to hear them, just to listen to them. Proverbs 15:7 also says that the lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of the fools are not upright. I'm including this in nourishment because I think part of nourishment is knowledge. And so the lips of the wise, if you're going to use your lips the right way, then you're going to spread knowledge, true knowledge, not this fake junk that's going around in the world today. The lips of the wise are going to spread true knowledge. The second word is encouraging. That's not the exact word used here in Proverbs, but that's essentially what it's communicating. Proverbs 16:24 says, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Now, I don't know if you like honey or not, but I think I loved Pooh Bear when I was little, and he loved honey. You know, bears love honey. So I just could imagine Pooh Bear eating into that honeycomb and how it would make a rumble in his tummy. You know, I think that's what he's saying. I tried to get Elijah to watch it the other day, and it wasn't Spider-Man, so he didn't care. And so this is saying gracious words, kind words, they're sweet to a person's soul. In fact, and I'm already getting it to it here, it can bring healing to the bones. Now, does it mean literal healing to the bones? No. But it does mean that it can heal a person at their innermost parts. Proverbs 12:25, you probably have heard this one. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. So when someone's down, when someone's depressed, when someone has is so anxious that their heart is weighed down, and sometimes you can just look at them and tell that's what's going on, all they need is a kind word. And it says a kind word can cheer them up. So those are encouraging. Your words can be used to encourage. Words can also be used for healing. Proverbs 12:18, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. There's been times in my life where I have had wounds, and I'm not talking about physical wounds. I'm talking about inner wounds, emotional wounds, spiritual wounds, that all it took was for a wise person to say the right thing. And when they said the right thing, it's almost like it scabbed over and it started to heal. I don't know if you've ever experienced that in your life, but I have. And I think that we need more people that are able to speak into our life to bring healing in those cases. So words can have a huge positive effect on others, but also your words can have a huge negative effect on others. Specifically, Proverbs talks about discouraging or harsh words. Proverbs 11:9, with their mouth the godless destroy their neighbors, but through knowledge the righteous escape. Proverbs 12:18, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Man, we've seen some of this here in the last week. You probably have seen this in your life. Neuroscience shows that negative words, if I say something negative to you today, then automatically your brain, the fear center of your brain is triggered. And it begins to release stress hormones like cortisol immediately. Even a single hostile word, they say, can raise anxiety and lower problem-solving abilities. Words have power. And when you say something negative to someone else, their brain, it's been proven, automatically begins to respond by doing things that are not great. Another thing that Proverbs speaks against is lying and slander. Proverbs 10:18, whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. So what is slander? Slander is a false statement to hurt someone's reputation. There's a lot of slander on social media today. A lot of people just saying stuff just to try to ruin your view of someone else. We got to be careful with that. And then the last one is gossip. Proverbs 16:28, a perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. Proverbs 20:19, a gossip betrays a confidence. So avoid anyone who talks too much. I like how blunt that one is. I was looking around, developing the definition of gossip, and I came across one on a Christian website that I really liked. The sin of gossip is bearing bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart. The sin of gossip is bearing bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart. Those of you that have been in church for part of your lifetime, you probably have seen churches split over gossip. You've probably seen people leave church over gossip, over people liking to talk about someone behind their back in a negative way, not to help them, but ultimately to hurt them, to hurt their reputation, and hurt other people's views of them. I don't know why it's so bad in the church. I think it's one of the ways that the devil slides in, because I think we're thinking, and I really hate it when someone will say, well, I'm not telling you this to hurt them. I'm just telling you this so you'll know. And really, and even people that will use prayer requests, hey, pray for Sally. She's cheating on her husband. You know, like, no, that's not how you share that. That's not what you do. And so, but I've been around people who do that. They use that time as a way of gossiping. And I've heard people talk about how some churches have like prayer groups, and they went and they said all it is a gossip circle. So they don't go anymore. So gossip is one way that we can hurt other people, and you probably either have been hurt by someone's gossip or you have seen someone hurt by gossip. And so my question for us today is, how are we using our words? Truth is, we probably can all think of times where our words helped or in some cases hurt. I can think of times where people have spoken my life. In fact, I have a folder at home that is my encouragement folder of where people have written me cards. People have told me things. For Pastor Appreciation, the last few years, the Wesleyan Church has encouraged people to write things on a poster and then take a picture with your pastor. I save all of those. I don't remember who they came from because you didn't write your names on them, but I save those because on a rough day when I'm doubting my calling and I'm doubting me as a person, I'll go and read those. what other people have said about me in my life. And actually, we saw a pastor, not this past Friday, but the Friday before, and he says he has the same exact thing, an encouragement folder that he'll go and look at when things get tough. And so knowing how much an encouraging word means to me, I try to be encouraging to other people because I know just how hard the devil fights to get us down and how much power an encouraging word can have. On the flip side, when I think about my life, I know that there's been times where hurtful things were said to me and they still stick with me. I know there's been times where I have said hurtful things to others. I try to be very intentional about not saying hurtful things on purpose. But one bad thing about me is I'll say a hurtful thing to you and not even realize that I did it. And that's happened more times than I can count. And then when I find out that I hurt them, it hurts me because I never intended to hurt them. It's a reminder to me that we have to be very careful with our words. And so for the illustration, kind of what God has shown to me for our illustration is I'm going to put some boxes up here that we had brought in. And these boxes are going to represent your life or the life of someone else. Let's just say a life of someone else. And as positive things, so I kind of think about, let's just say we start with that as a child. If your parents are saying positive things to you and they're building you up, then you're going to continue to be built up over your life. So let's say your parents say good things, so your self-worth becomes higher, your happiness, your joy becomes higher, you begin to work and they say good things about you, and it just continues to build. But over time, let's say that someone says something that hurts you, or something, they slander against you, or they lie about you, or they do something that is a hit to your soul. It'd be like taking a baseball bat to that person, or to you, and taking that first one off. And what's happened in my life, and what may have happened in your life, is that they tend to come in groups, where someone will say something bad about you, and then the next week someone says something bad about you, and drama just begins to get stirred up, and it can really knock you down and take away some of the self-worth that has been built up over your lifetime. They say, I've heard different numbers on this, but they say it takes 5 positive words to outweigh 1 negative. So let's say someone has said something bad about you, or you said something bad to someone else. You've knocked down the first 2. It's going to take 10 positive things said to that person to build this back up. And so I kind of thought about, like, you know, someone compliments them, that it just, the box just moves a little bit closer each time. But it's going to take 5 steps just to build that back. It's going to take 5 things to build this one back. And I'm not saying in life that no one should ever say anything bad to you, because it's going to happen. That's the world that we live in. You're going to have bad things said to you. You don't need to be saying bad things to other people, though. That list, discouraging, harsh words, lying, slander, gossip, you are taking a bat to someone else's life and hurting them when you do that. And I think about kids, which I'm getting ahead of myself because there's actually stats that show this. Let me go and pull them up. You've heard the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. The truth is, words actually do hurt. In fact, they have discovered that words may actually hurt more than physical hurt. Words, this is from some studies, words can chip away at a person's self-worth. So that's what I was demonstrating there. Their self-worth has been built up. Hopefully they had good parents to build that self-worth up. But as soon as people start saying negative things about them, their self-worth gets taken down and down and down. So they have low self-esteem. They have anxiety. They have depression. The constant stress and fear can make a person feel unsafe and on edge, leading to social isolation and difficulty forming relationships. In some cases, severe verbal abuse can contribute to the development of post-traumatic stress disorder. Studies using brain scans have shown that chronic exposure to verbal aggression, particularly during childhood, actually alters the brain's structures and their pathways. In essence, verbal abuse can cause physical damage to the brain, leaving neurological scars that can manifest as problems such as aggression, substance abuse, anxiety, and depression. While broken bone may heal and you may have some pain over time, emotional and psychological scars left by words may never fully fade. The memories of verbal abuse can linger for a lifetime, affecting a person's sense of self and their ability to trust others. They compared physical abuse to verbal abuse for children. And you are more, a child is more likely to have low mental well-being as an adult if they experience verbal abuse than if they experience physical abuse. That shocked me. Because, you know, typically, Child Protective Services gets called in if there's physical abuse involved with a child. And verbal abuse, while it's bad, often gets overlooked. But what the study shows is, yes, physical abuse is bad. Verbal abuse is worse. And so verbal abuse needs to be treated just as strictly and just as seriously as physical abuse in children. Now, here's what's happening in today's culture. Kids are experiencing so much verbal abuse that they don't even have a base to build on. They have no sense of self-worth. They have no sense of well-being. And so that's why they're going to the drugs. That's why they're going to sex. That's why they're going to all these other things to try to find their worth, to try to find meaning in life. It's because they've had so many negative things said about them. Let's just say that they had 500 negative things said about them. It's going to take 2,500 positive things to outweigh those 500, if not more. And you know the number's a lot higher than 500 for kids that grow up in a household where for their first 18 years they are told nothing but they're trash, that they're not wanted, that they're horrible, that they are bad, etc., etc., etc. And so they're building from nothing. Hopefully you had good parents, and so you're building from something. Hopefully those around us are building from something. What I'm saying is that let's be people who build people up rather than taking a baseball bat to them and tearing them down. Let's be people that's going to be given the five words for every one word of negative. Instead, unfortunately, the church over the years has been, I'll pick my baseball bat if someone else starts messing up around here. We have enough of this negative baseball bat hitting words today. In fact, I think it's worse today than it's ever been before because of social media and because of phones, because of computers. Church, we shouldn't be adding to it. So we need to use our words and our mouth wisely in a time and in a world where people do not. And so how do we use it wisely? First, know when to use your words and when to not. There are times where you don't need to say anything. There are times when maybe we should keep our mouth shut. There are times when, for example, I've seen some people this past week choose that this is the time to say something negative about Charlie Kirk when there's, and no matter what your views are of him, they're choosing this time. This would be the time not to, because tensions are so high. You can say it later. You can say your thoughts later if you want to, but there are times when you should not say anything. In fact, Scripture warns us, Proverbs 10:19, sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent, the wise, hold their tongue. I like the NLT translation better. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. It's kind of blunt. I like blunt. My saying is that those who talk a lot sin a lot. And there's truth to that. Not that they maybe are intentionally doing it, but probably what I should say is those who talk a lot have the opportunity to sin a lot. Because the more words you are saying out of your mouth, the more opportunity there is for you to say something wrong, for you to say something hurtful, for you to say something that knocks a person down. And so we have to be careful about the way we use our tongue. Here's what James 3:5-6 says. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body and sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it is itself set on fire by hell. It's warning us the tongue can be a bad thing. The mouth, your words, they can be bad things. So we, those who talk a lot, this is why, like, I don't love social media. I don't love that my sermons are recorded because I'm going to say something wrong from the pulpit one day. And nowadays with social media, you can go back and screen grab that and hold it against me later on. And that's exactly what people do with those who talk a lot. Those who talk a lot, there's more opportunity to sin. And so there's reason for us to not talk as much. I think one thing we need to be very intentional about doing is thinking before we speak. Proverbs 13:3 says, those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. The next verse, Proverbs 21:23, once again says, those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. But I'm going to go back to the first one because it's contrasting guarding our mouth with speaking rashly. Guarding our mouth means that, I like to think of, we have guards placed at our mouth who are checking to make sure the words that we are about to say are helpful and not hurtful words. But those who speak rashly without thinking, without having those guards, without having that filter, they're going to come to ruin. Rashly means that they just rush into it. They just let whatever fly out of their mouth. They don't think before they speak. That's one way to get yourself into trouble, and that's one way to hurt other people. And so what we need to do is we need to take time to think what we need to say so that we say it, say both the correct words, we say it with the correct tone, we say it in the right way. I am very intentional with my sermons. I write out an outline, but it's almost a manuscript because I try to be very intentional with my words when I'm up here on stage. I try to think through what I'm going to say before I speak. And there are times where I get off track and I say things that I didn't plan to say. And those in my speaking career, those are the times where I have said stuff that I probably shouldn't have said. So I like to try to keep it planned out as much as possible. Part of this point is knowing when to use your words and when to not is to be quick to listen. James tells us in James 1:19, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. There are situations in our life where maybe we should just listen. A few times I could think about, I know that I was very intentional about not saying too much when, like, George Floyd was killed. I need to listen to a different group's point of view of what is happening in the world today. I eventually did issue some statement, but it was more after taking time to listen. Times where we need to be quick to listen is when someone is going through a traumatic or hard experience. Oftentimes we like to jump in and try to fix things. Sometimes all a person is looking for is a listening ear. Another time to be quick to listen is when you're having an argument with someone, especially your spouse. Make sure that we are quick to listen in cases like that. And then I think we need to be quick to listen when we have the opportunity to learn something, when we have the opportunity to take something in. We don't always do a very good job at listening. My part of my career is talking, and so I have to be very intentional in some cases of being the one that just sits and listens. Sometimes when I go to Tuesday table gathering, because I'm not teaching, I try not to add too much because I just want to sit and listen. There are times where I do add some, but I try to sit and listen and take in because so much of my life is spent talking. Sometimes your talking can get you in trouble. Sometimes your talking hurts someone when you don't even realize it. And we experienced this when we went through our miscarriage. People were trying to be helpful, but they said stuff that was hurtful. And they didn't even realize it. And so we have to be very careful when someone's going through a traumatic situation. We may be well-meaning in what we're trying to say, but it could actually make things worse. Second thing we can do is make your words count. Make your words count for something. You only have a limited amount of words that you say a day. Jesus has already warned us, and I'm not going to read the whole verse, but but Matthew 12:36, Jesus has warned us that we have to give an account for every empty word that they have spoken, that we have spoken. Empty words are words that have no meaning. They have no purpose. They're just you blabbing your mouth. Like saying something to someone even though you don't mean it. That's a form of lying. Or just chatting with someone because you have to. Make your words count for something. And so for me, even though we may be having small talk, I'm having small talk with you because I'm trying to build a relationship with you to hopefully lead you to Jesus. There have been times, though, where I have just talked to someone because I had to. Not because I wanted to, but because we were sat at the same table or something, you know? Like those, you have to make sure that there's the right reasoning behind your words. Ephesians 4:29 says to avoid unhelpful talk. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Unwholesome here means corrupting or filthy communication. So do not let any corrupting or filthy communication come out of your mouth. So let's talk about cussing. You knew that we have to talk about cussing if we're going to talk about our words. That was actually one of the questions asked over the summer, is what does the Bible say about cussing, or is cussing a sin? And I will say cussing is a sin. Not only here does it confirm to us that cussing is a sin, that cussing is corrupting or filthy communication, but also Colossians 3:8, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Ephesians 5:4 says, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Coarse joking is jokes that are not appropriate. Often those are sexual. Those should be avoided by a Christian as well. James 3:10, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Now, my point with cussing is this. What's the use of it? There's no use in cussing. There are other words you can use, and I'm not talking about the filler words that are just a filler word for the cuss word. I'm saying that there is no need for us to use cuss words. Those are words that don't count for anything except for hurtful things. In fact, I would say most people cuss when they get angry. And so you're showing to the world that when you get angry, it's okay to use words that even the world knows should not be used around children. Even the world recognizes they're not good words. And so you're showing that there's a way to respond where you could get angry and say those things. What a time when someone gets angry, what a time for a Christian to then show an alternate response. To show you don't have to use all this filthy language to get your point across. You can get things point across in a way that brings people in a closer relationship with Jesus, not a further one. Cussing has never been an issue for me. That's one thing I just, like, I used to be on people at Food Line, Christians, I'd be like, do you really need to say that word? Like, you could have totally avoided that word by saying something totally different. Like, it's not helpful. Those are words that don't count for any meaning. That's unwholesome talk. And, I think the thinking is, well, they're just words. They're just words that someone came up with. Well, the whole point of today's sermon is words count. Words have the power to take someone down or to build them up. And so we need to make sure that we are making our words count, and that includes avoiding cussing. Cussing is a sin. Avoid it as much as you can. Make our words count. I got 45 minutes up here each Sunday. I'm going to make my words count for everything that I can so that you guys can learn something and hopefully become closer to Jesus. I make sure my words count to my sons, my wife, my friends, my family, and all those I come into contact with because I want to build them up and not tear them down. And that leads into the last point. If you want to make your words count, if you want to be wise with your words, build others up with your words as much as you can. Load people up with words that build them up rather than tear them down. Three words we used earlier to talk about the positive things our words can do: nourishing, encouraging, and healing. I think you have to know what words they need at each time. So nourishing I see as maintaining. So that might be something just small and nice that you say to them on a certain day. Like, hey, your hair looks great today. Or I'll give an example. Last week, one of the parents bragged about Tanya in the nursery. So I messaged Tanya Sunday night and says, one of the parents was bragging about you in the nursery with the kid. That was a small thing that tells Tanya, thank you for what you do and you're doing a great job. Small, nourishing words that build someone up. The second word was encouraging. And if you're encouraging someone, there's a chance they could be discouraged. So nourishment is going to help keep this box up here. So it's almost like loading up the five words before the one word is said. Encouraging means someone's knocked this one down, and you need to say something to help build it back up. They're going through a tough time. They're depressed. They're anxious. They need that cheerful word. So that's when you're going to say something a little bit deeper. Sarah called me this past week, crying, work was tough, and I tried talking, as best I could, and then when we hung up, I decided to send a longer text that was encouraging because she was discouraged. She had had that top box knocked off, and so I said something to try to encourage her. The last and positive word is healing, and these are people who may have multiple boxes knocked down. They have deep wounds that need a very thoughtful response from you or from someone else that's going to help bind up those wounds and build them back up. Some people have been so attacked in their life that they have no foundation for the next box to be put on. Some people have been so knocked down in life that you may say encouraging words, you may say nourishing words to them, but they don't take. Because they believe they are nothing. They believe you're just being nice, that you're not saying words you really mean. That they're so messed up that you're not even seeing the truth. And those are people who need you to say deep stuff. And I don't really have an example for that. I mean, I can think about times in counseling where I may have said something deeper. I think a great way to speak healing words to someone is to tell them how God has been working in their life, how God's been making an impact in their life, how God is using them to help other people. That's a deep level of healing that takes place. And so we need to figure out ways to do that in people's lives. So if you notice someone doing something good, then tell them. If you have a tug in your heart to say something to someone, then say it. If you are thankful for someone, then tell them. Small words can go a long way in helping people fulfill their God-given purpose. That James verse talked about how one spark creates a forest fire. And it was saying that the tongue can be that one spark that creates a lot of problems. On the flip side, that tongue can be one spark that creates a fire of God in someone else's life that causes them to burn alive for God and reach other people with his light. So just a reminder that your tongue has power and you need to use it to build other people up. And ultimately what Luke 6:45 says, Jesus says, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Ultimately what is here comes out here. And so if someone's constantly taking a bat to someone, it's a sign something's not right here. But if you're constantly saying positive things and building other people up, it's a sign something is right here. Matthew 15:18 says, the things that come out of a person's mouth comes from the heart, and these defile them. In the wake of the Charlie Kirk assassination, we have seen a lot of things said. I don't typically have a Twitter account, but I pulled my Twitter account back up this week just to see all the junk. And I shouldn't. I should turn it off. But I've seen people post on Facebook, because that's my typical social media site, saying that people were saying ridiculous things, like they were happy he's dead, take out other people around him. Someone said they should take out the mom and the kids and stuff like that. Just ridiculous, hateful stuff. And I saw the tweets myself. Now, whether there's a real person behind those tweets, I don't know. Because you better believe foreign countries are putting stuff out there just to try to get us to hate one another. I can't control what other people say, but I can't control what I say. I can control my words and make my words as loving and as wise as possible in a time where people are not. And so that's my encouragement for us, especially during this time when everything is so tense. Make sure your words are being used in a wise manner to build people up rather than tear them down. So as the worship team comes up, we're going to sing one last song, and it's going to be a very appropriate song. It's going to be I Speak Jesus. And that's what I want you to do. I want you to speak Jesus over your family, over your friends, over our country. I want you to be Jesus to them. Speak as Jesus would speak. But specifically, here's my challenge for you this week. I want you to find five people in your life, and I want you to say not something nourishing, encouraging. Something a little bit deeper, something that you notice in their life. Just really try to be encouraging to them, because you don't know if you might be the fifth word that they needed to outweigh the one bad thing that was said 2 weeks ago. And so I want you to find those five people this week. Write them a letter. Letters can be very meaningful because they then can be stored in a drawer, like mine have been stored in a drawer. Write a card, write a text, phone call, whatever it is. Try to be encouraging to people this week. Find five people. That's my challenge for you this week. Find five people to speak Jesus into their life. So let's stand to your feet and let's pray.